Testing 1, 2, 3. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Dave Fremlin Show. I am the one and only Dave Fremlin. Yay! And I know it's been a whole week since I did a podcast, and I said in that last podcast I was going to do another podcast that very same day. I didn't do it, and I want to apologize, but I don't know whether it's because I'm lazy or whether it's because I'm just having such a struggle with the current state of affairs in the world and my mental health is just preventing me from digesting it properly, or whether it's just there's so much I just don't know what to talk about and how to really do it, or I don't know what, but there's a resistance and I'm forcing myself to do this tonight. Okay, so today is 9/10, tomorrow 9/11 is the 20th anniversary of the horrible events that occurred. You are listening to the Dave Fremlin Show.
Wanted to share with anyone who's interested out there.
Takes a super duper long time.
Yeah.
To boot it up.
Anyways, and now tonight I'm gonna
not
give you some information.
Yay.
A doctor, which I forgot what it is. Right.
You are listening to the Dave Fremlin Show.
Yay.
I guess we'll see what happens, right?
Heard
back then, and I wanted to I'm not gonna go, there's so much happening currently that 9/11 is really not I don't want to say irrelevant, but it's not really what I want to really deal with. However, there's a couple things I do want to bring up, because since it is a big topic and since everybody does remember what was happening in that day and that moment, there's some interesting tidbits about myself and my family that are 9/11 related that I think are just notable, important maybe, and as far as my political frame and to understand like how deep my, I don't know, bend of politics is. I don't know how you describe it, but I've been shunned ever since 9/11 of 2011, or yeah, no, 2001. I've been shunned. In fact, I've been different. I've been the one on the outside my whole life. I was teased as a kid, very seriously brutalized. But moreover, even as an adult, and more importantly, ever since 9/11, you know, I started not understanding things the way that other people did. And I started changing my viewpoint as far as how I see like the government and the way things work and how things are compared to how they're supposed to be, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I talk about frequently in my podcast, so I don't need to reiterate in a brief. But what I wanted to mention about 9/11, these are just a couple of points. Number one, the first thing that I should mention is on 9/11 occurred in September. And there was a lot of talk about these terrorists that lived in San Diego. And at the time, I lived in Palm Springs. My brother lived in San Diego, and he was looking to move into a new apartment. And he ended up moving, I think, around October 1st. And right around October 1st is when they disclosed the actual address of the... Hold on a minute. I got to get tighter. On that date, the date that my brother moved, was the same date that they announced the actual address of Muhammad Atta, who was one of the quote-unquote terrorists who quote-unquote flew into the World Trade Center. Well, what I want to mention about this is how come that's important is because when we showed up, my brother, U-Haul, me, and his wife, we were surrounded by news people, you know, like real full-on news people, and we were being flooded, bombarded with questions because we didn't know. But my brother was inadvertently moving into the very apartment that only a few weeks earlier had been occupied by no other than Muhammad Atta, the notorious terrorist whose driver's license was mysteriously found in the wreckage of a flight in which not a single human remain was found. So, interestingly enough, that's what happened. It's a true story. You know, my brother was suffering from a lot of bad luck at that time. listening to the one and only Dave Fremlin Show on Podbean.
And since he moved into that apartment, it was nothing but just mayhem. And we ended up him moving like within a couple of weeks.
But my brother, yes, my brother famously moved into the apartment previously lived in just weeks prior by a internationally recognized terrorist. The other thing I want to mention is I want to remind people that this event happened September 11th, and by, I think it was by probably the 21st, no later than the end of September, what was in the airports already created and ready to go? Brand new scanning machines and security protocols. And my curiosity on this, and as this is, you know, all the stories about 9/11 and all the conspiracy, quote unquote, conspiracy theories, conspiracy facts, multiple conspiracies, whatever you, however you want to phrase it. The thing that always sticks with me, it sticks with me today. It sticks with me the moment that COVID hit. This is why COVID to me was like PTSD 9/11. All right. And this is a national PTSD. And here is the reason why. Not because of the actual attack. The actual attack was suspicious enough. But why were new security machines that we had never heard of before ready to be deployed within 10, 20 days? No matter how great America is, nobody creates that technology that quickly unless it was already something they'd thought of. And my first thought was, this whole event was about the scanners in the airports. It was about the Patriot Act. How come within days they had a 5,000 page document ready to sign? 5,000 within 20 days it was written and passed and signed. Nobody ever talks about that. They talk about Building 7. They talk about steel construction girders, airplanes, lack of body parts, whatever you want to talk about. The real story is, why was the Patriot Act already written, and why were scanners already ready to be deployed in the airports before we even knew what hit us? I ask you that, my friends. And in the reason I brought that up is because I want to tell you that I have never, and this is how I feel about vaccines. This is the vaccine to me is the airport scanner. The airport scanner is the vaccine. This is the new airport scanner, only it's much worse. And I will tell you how long ago my bend started. They deployed these scanners in the airports. And my thought was, this is nothing I want any part of. This is surveillance. I'm not carrying any weapons. I'm not doing anything wrong. But I think it's the beginning of something bad. And my family and friends who have traveled with me, you can ask any of them, for years, for 20 years, got to get to the airport early. Why? Because they're going to want to hand search me. I'm going to have to wait. And inevitably, there's never a person there to hand search you. You got to wait. They do it on purpose to make you want to do the scanner. Okay, this is the truth. And so for years, I was the person that people got annoyed with because I had to go to the airport early and they had to go. They all went through the scanners. They're all at the gate having coffee. And I'm still waiting to put my belt back on because I got to wait for the hand scan, the hand pat. And they grope me. They almost fist me every time. But, you know, my attitude is that I don't want any part of government surveillance. And I'm not doing anything wrong. It's just wrong for the government to surveil. And so I wanted to bring up the fact that I have never walked through a body scanner because I wanted to point out that my belief My sincerely, I'm Dave Fremland, and you are listening to the one and only Dave Fremland Show. Held belief. It's a religiously held belief. It's not a belief held within my religion, but I hold the belief as it is a religiously held belief. And this is the belief. Do not trust government. It doesn't take much to figure out why I would say that. If you look at a history book, you could start with the Bible. That's probably the first real history book that we have. You could start with the Old Testament, and then you could fill in the blanks with some other history from Greek and Roman and other places, and then you can add the New Testament, and then you can add more recent ancient history, and then you can come up to the Revolutionary period, and you can move your way all the way up. And what you will see is that governments cannot be trusted. They have a goal. It's not, government in and of itself is already something wrong with the idea, but the people, okay, the people of any given country, the people of any given governed area are probably good people. Americans are very good people, but the government, the problem is, this is where it comes from, the type of a person who is attracted to the job, the government job, the person who is attracted to that job, there's a problem there. Okay, the problem is there. Personality types of various type are attracted to various other things. For example, I am attracted to theater and arts. Well, if you go into the theater and arts, you're going to find a lot of people that have similar thought processes as me, but also you're going to find a lot of people that are very liberal and very, you find, first of all, I'm not saying this in any bad way, you find people of various gender orientations, and so you have a tendency to have a slightly more eclectic type of a thing. And you have a different type of a person who is attracted to, say, axe throwing as a hobby. You know, I don't know. I've never been an axe thrower. I'm not attracted to it. Dog walkers versus cat owners. You know, different types of people are attracted to different things. The type of people that are attracted to positions of power are power-hungry people, period. And so you can't trust them. Usually they're sociopaths. Sociopaths don't have guilt. They don't have a sense of wrong. They only have a sense of, I want this, I'm going for it. It doesn't matter what happens on the process. That's a sociopath. They don't have a sense of remorse, guilt. They don't feel, when they've hurt someone, they don't feel like that's any kind of a problem. They just feel like, well, people get hurt, be a little, you know? So what? They don't even think that, they don't even go to it that far. They don't even go to the farthest notion of, oh, well, people get hurt. It wouldn't occur to them. It wouldn't occur to them at all. And they don't get hurt because they just see everything as a competition and they just want to win. That is the personality of a sociopath. And those people rise to power because they are willing to do all the things that it takes to do that a person that is not that type of a person won't do. They see our sense of guilt and shame and compassion and empathy. They see those as weaknesses, okay? So that's how you understand that government cannot be trusted. And the point I was making was that I have never been through an airport scanner because I have a religiously held belief that you cannot trust government. And that brings me up to today. I had a little conversation with my mother, an hour and a half ago. I ended up hanging up on her. And the reason is because there's two reasons. One reason is acceptable, and the other one is acceptable too. I was talking to my mom, and I was telling her, did I tell you a month ago that there were going to be mandated vaccines? And that's why I was leaving California. I said I was safer in Florida. And she said, yeah, you absolutely said that. And I said, so I was right then. The Dave Fremlin Show is now available on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcast, and iHeartRadio. If you like listening to The Dave Fremlin Show, don't forget to follow me and subscribe to my podcast and share me with a friend. Thank you and have a nice day. Right? And she said, well, no, not actually. And she started making an excuse. Well, it's not really this, it's really that, the other thing. And I said, well, okay, I don't want to talk about this because it's going to make me annoyed. And then a few minutes later, she started to kind of pick on that one topic again. Maybe like brought it up again. And I said to her, you know, I don't understand why you're agreeing with the people that I am telling you are. I told you that there was going to be mandates a year ago. Actually, when COVID first came out, I remember being in my writing group. We were at SDSU doing a writing group and they had the COVID. And one of my people in the thing, I said, don't worry about COVID. Worry about the mandates that are coming for vaccines. And it wasn't even, there wasn't even a vaccine yet. There wasn't even a mask mandate yet. There weren't even masks yet. This was like day three of COVID. Okay, there weren't lockdowns yet. There was toilet paper shortages, that's all. And I remember saying to my friend, I won't mention her name, I said, it's going to be a mandate vaccines. This is all about vaccines. A year and a half ago. A year and a half ago. You could go back to my podcast and look up a year and a half ago, and you could probably find one that talks about mandated vaccines before there were even vaccines. Okay? I know. So I said this to my mom. She just cannot. So I hung up on her. She cannot absolutely, no matter what, ever agree with me. And if I tell her, Mom, I just want you to just not argue with me. And you know what her response would be? I'm not arguing with you. Which to me sounds like an argument. So I have to preserve my strength and mental health. And I had a lot of problems for a long time. And I worked very, very hard to get over them. You can go into my past podcast and you'll see what happened to me. And I just don't need, you know, a lot of people like in their life, people that can argue with them or like have a healthy banter or disagree. I don't want that. If you want to be my friend, I want you to be on the same page as me. You don't have to agree with me on every aspect of everything. I like chocolate. You like vanilla. Okay, strawberry. You know, we both agree. Whatever. Okay, I don't care about that. But you have to at least see the world from the same sort of point of view as me. Do you understand? For example, I have a very hard time with atheists. And there's no point. Why try? You know, I'm not going to agree with you. I'm not going to see your point of view the way you see it. You're not going to change my point of view. And basically, I don't like your company because your point of view really bothers me. And when I'm around you, I'm bothered by you. I want to convince you of something else. It makes me uncomfortable. So do I need that in my life? Honestly. And people say, oh, well, but you need people with disagreeing opinions. I mean, no, you don't. No, I don't. Other people might. People might like to be unhappy. I don't want to be unhappy. I want to be around people that agree with me, that see the world the way I see it, so that when we go out together, we can say, isn't that thing great? Don't you agree this is the way that something is? And they can go, yeah, I totally agree. And we go, wow, we're in agreement. Isn't that harmonious? Wow. I don't want to argue. I don't want to argue. And so in order to not feel abused at the end of the conversation, I simply told Mom, I said, I don't want to talk anymore. I hung up. I feel abused. In 57 years, not one time could she say, oh, I see your point of view, you're right. Wow, I didn't ever see that way before. And no matter how much I think she's gonna one day turn around and say that, it ain't gonna happen. And I think that the more that it irritates me, the more she likes to poke at me. Like, the more that I want to insist that something is the way it is, the more she wants to say it isn't that way. And it bothers me. It bothers me a lot, in fact. I've been the person who disagrees, or not disagrees. I've been the person who's right. And the other people in my world that disagree have been in kind of bothersome to me for a long time. And I just don't see the point. You know, I have a podcast. If they want to talk about it, let them have their own podcast. Hi, I'm Dave Fremland, host of The Dave Fremland Show on Podbean. Now, you can listen to me on Spotify also. But please support my podcast by clicking the follow button on the Podbean or Spotify app. Thank you for listening and have a nice day. Drinking tea right now. So anyway, so that brings me to that topic. And I just wanted to say one last topic before the end of this podcast. Maybe it would be two. I'll end it with good news, but I'll give you the bad news first. So Biden did what I said he was going to do. And I don't like being right about this. But I'm very nervous. But I got to tell you, when I told the people in California when I left, I said, they're going to do a vaccine. They're going to force people with the vaccines. And I'm not taking it. It's a deadly vaccine. And every day since I moved to Florida, there's been more evidence about Dr. Fauci, more evidence about the vaccines don't work. And the more there's evidence about it, the more they push for a mandated vaccine. And it's not even approved. You guys need to go look up the FDA approval, because the vaccine that's out has got emergency use authorization only renewed. The vaccine that got approved by quote-unquote Pfizer is actually not. It's called Comirnaty, and it's not even available yet. It's a future drug that will be based on, once they find out all the flaws with the one that's currently out, then they're going to redevelop a new drug called this other drug. It's not available yet. It's not available yet. So you're being mandated by a dictatorial, non-elected president to take a non-vaccine that doesn't work, that causes more death and destruction than the quote-unquote disease that doesn't exist that they're trying to cure. I couldn't be more frustrated. I couldn't be more frustrated. And people around me, you know, I have right now like three friends that I can talk to that I feel that are near where I'm on this page. And even they're not. I mean, some of them are close, but like still not quite at the level where I'm at. And I don't mind those people, but there's only three. You know, I want to get together a whole gang of people that are like me, so we have safety in numbers, you know? So, all right. I don't want to, this has been very hard to do this podcast today. Seriously, I took all day. It's been the top of my notes. Oh, I have extensive notes. I had 10 things to do today, podcast, every other one. Lastly, I want to mention my broken foot. And end this on a very happy note. So as you may know, I broke my foot. It's been quite a bad problem for me over the last year. And I had a miracle happen. And I want to share that. I want to testify. So I had this pain going on in my foot. It was very bothersome. A lot of pain, actually, throughout my body. And I was having a lot of problems with it. And one day I noticed, I kept praying about it, obviously. I mean, I think mentioning the prayer is almost not even worth mentioning, but it is worth mentioning because prayer is so important. But anybody who knows me knows, like, I walk around praying all day long. You know, like, all I do all day long is pray. You know, like I feel like every other word out of my mouth is, dear God, dear God, please help me. Dear God, please this. Dear God, please that. Dear God, I love God. I love God every minute. And then every other thing is thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You're so great. Thank you, God. God is great. So anybody knows me knows I live my entire day, every day. Like I don't know how to do anything else any other way. So anyway, I was thinking about this thing. And where I go dancing, they're going to finally have, not finally, I think they're moving it up early because of me pestering them so much. But anyway. Hi, I'm Dave Fremland, host of the Dave Fremland Show on Podbean. Now, you can listen to me on Spotify also. But please support my podcast by clicking the follow button on the Podbean or Spotify app. Thank you for listening and have a nice day. You're going to have a beginning tap class. I'm looking for, I can't even tell you how excited I am. But I decided to put on my tap shoes to see how they feel. And these particular shoes that I have, I bought them online. They were always have been quite snug. I was working on stretching them out a little bit before I broke my foot by wearing bigger and bigger socks type thing. But I had to usually wear dress socks with them because they're very sheer and they were tight, hard to get on without a shoehorn. And so I was like, well, I'll just try it on. I stuck my foot in there with a regular sock on. And my foot didn't slide in Cinderella in the glass slipper, but it didn't need much coaxing. And I was able to get my foot in and a shoe fit either equally or less snug than I remembered it. And so I thought to myself, drink some tea. I drink blueberry. It's called Radiate Beauty. I put that in the same cup with Nighty Night tea and with this Bigelow tea that has poppies in it. Because, poppies will put them to sleep. Yeah. And little dog. All right. Anyway. So I thought, it's odd that the shoe fits. And so I thought, well, I've been all this time under the impression that my foot was hurting because of inflammation and extra screws in there and things bulging out in the wrong place. And suddenly it occurred to me, what if the opposite is the problem? What if the foot hurts because the muscles have shrunk, they've atrophied? There's a lot of little small moving parts in there. And they were up in the air for a whole year, not getting enough blood flow maybe. You know what I mean? Your feet are on the bottom of you for a reason because blood has to go into them. There's a lot of small moving parts in there. They need a lot of blood. If they were meant to be up in the air, they'd be on your head. See? And I was on my back for 9 months, and even babying the foot ever since then. So I thought, and I did ask God about this. Maybe the foot needs more movement, more exercise, more, vertical integration. And so I started actually, increasing the use of that foot and just, figured I'd just work through the pain, just man up. I've got a lot of hair on my chest. I don't need to grow no more, but I just thought I'd just man up and just walk on that foot. And I pretty much doubled my daily steps from 10 to 20,000. I used to be up to 30 or 40,000. So, but it's, got to get there when you get there. And I started adding a little weight on my gym equipment that, are weight bearing on the foot. I started doubling it up. And I got to tell you, I had dance class last night. Not tap yet, but I don't have pain today in that foot. And I attribute it to the combination of two things. One was inspired message from God that I was dealing with my foot the wrong way. And then B, the follow through from me. And that brings me to my last and very final comment. I thought of this morning. It was a profound thought, wisdom from God himself. And the wisdom is this. Okay, you know the old saying, if a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there to hear it, does it really make a sound? Okay, I want to answer that with this comparison. Everything in the universe is here because God said, let there be. But the revelation that I had this morning, the epiphany from God that I was given, is that let there be is only the first half of the equation. God said, let there be, but then he said, behold, here it is. And so the first part, let there be, it brings the thing to bear, but the thing cannot exist until we behold it. And so, I just want you to think about that. The formula is, let there be, and then behold, here it is. Okay? So, it's a two-part equation. I didn't just, you know, I was walking down the street today, and I was thinking about God like I always do, and I was looking at trees, thinking about how everything in the world exists because of God. And I thought about the first verse in the Bible that God said, let there be. And I thought, you know, but that's not the answer. There was let there be, but then there was, but here it is. After every sentence, after everything that God said, let there be, he said, behold, here it is. And so I think you have to want the thing, and then you have to see it, that it's there. And so, to bring it into the more earth plane and less be gooey, you have to decide, this is the way I want to be, and then you have to behave in the behold. You have to let there be no pain in my foot, let there be more function in my foot. But then I can't just lay on my back and act like my foot is going to magically just start tap dancing. It's got to be let there be, behold, here it is. So the belief that it can happen, and then the belief that it has happened, has to be in conjunction with each other. I think it's really important. People have tried to explain things like that to me before, but today just came in such a simple, let there be has to be followed by behold, there it is. It's the same process of, you know, once you pray with faith, then you act as though the prayer is answered. You know, the thing is, you know, and like if you go to a 12-step program, they're going to say, fake it till you make it type thing. You put it out there. I want to change. I want to be this new way. Then you have to live in the new way. You can't just say, I'm going to change, and then don't change. You got to say, I'm going to change. You got to live as though the changes are made. Let there be. Behold, there it is. That inspiration came directly from God to me today. I don't know. Seems so, it, to me, seems so profound. Maybe you're thinking I'm ridiculous. I don't know. All right, you guys, thank you. This is a long podcast, I didn't know. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a very nice day. And if you enjoy listening to my podcast, or even if you don't, make sure you pass me on, because I really want to have higher listenership, although I'm already international. I'm looking for sponsors. All right, thank you, and have a happy day. Bye-bye. The opinions expressed in the Dave Fremlin Show are strictly opinions. I am not an expert. The Dave Fremlin Show is written, directed, and produced by Dave Fremlin and is a Dave Fremlin production. Thank you for listening.